All right, it's 11:20. We're going to pray for Asher. Father, we just thank you for the privilege to pray for little baby Asher. As his body's being prepared for his surgery, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will do everything necessary for him to be strengthened. We're praying, actually, for you to heal him before he even has surgery. We know you can do that. We're just asking for you to minister to him. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to be part of his family, part of his army that is doing battle on his behalf. We thank you, Lord, for calling your people to this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for the reminder. We are absolutely blessed that Holy Spirit chooses to dwell with the likes of us. I was so blessed during worship. So little Ashton Leon back there had a little Valentine that he wanted to give specifically to Lindsay, who was down here. He was afraid to say anything, but he wanted to make sure he gave her a Valentine. And I don't know, it was just a little representation of just of the freedom we have in this body to love one another and to express that, and that this little boy just wanted to do that. So thanks, Alyssa, for bringing him down. I feel like she's taking him to class, okay? So anyway, we are so blessed, and we are living in a time when Holy Spirit is moving so profoundly, and he's not just moving profoundly to move profoundly because he can. He's moving profoundly because he's moving in us so that we can represent the voice of truth effectively wherever we are. This message, Speak Jesus, we just sang the song, I Speak Jesus, and this is how this message evolved from a couple weeks ago, and I kind of referenced it, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, that next time it was up, we were going to be talking about this. But it's so amazing to me because it's like that was a couple weeks ago, and so many things have happened since then. So much is happening in this time, in this period of time for God's people, and is all he wants us to do is just be in love with him and hang out with him and know that every moment of every day is in his hands and that he wants to use us every moment of every day, if that's even possible. I can't even imagine. I mean, you know, but we're experiencing him in now moments over and over and over again. And, you know, this wasn't even in my notes because it just happened yesterday. Isaac mentioned it at prayer meeting yesterday. There were just so many now moments where Holy Spirit was directing one thing and someone else, someone saw, and then someone else saw the very same thing. And so then you just respond. And that happened several times yesterday at men's prayer where there were just these now moments of revelation, revelatory words. And everything about it grows out of our intimate relationship with Jesus. We get to come up close. We are not talking about religion here. We're not talking about any obligation type stuff. We're talking about living daily life in his presence and then getting to be used because of what he deposits in us to say, hey, I'm giving you a word, or I've given you peace. I want you to give that to someone else that you run into who needs peace. That we get to disperse that, whatever it is. So that's what he's doing. The voice of truth is resounding. You know, I kind of wrote this at the beginning of at the top of my sheet here. Much like the American government right now, we're off to a rousing start in 2025. We're off to a rousing start as the voice of truth is making himself known, as he's making himself known among us. And the reality is that we, the ecclesia, the people of God, the governing body of God, we are part of the governing body of God in the earth today. And you are positioned. If you're positioned with him, you're part of that. So he's going to put you next to someone, or he's going to put you in a situation where you get to speak Jesus, where you get to speak Jesus. And I want to encourage you, we talked about this a little in class today, where if you have a nudge, if you have a nudge and you're in your workplace, or you're, you know, at a sports event, or you're in a grocery store, or you're wherever it is that you are and you have a nudge to do something, do it. The favor of the Lord is on his people in this day, and there's actually no time for hesitation. There's no time for delay to respond, to speak Jesus to these situations. And you may think, oh, what if my tongue gets tied? Let your tongue get tied. Do it anyway. It doesn't, don't worry about what it looks like, what it sounds like. Respond. I said, as I saw this unfolding yesterday at men's prayer, just people just sharing revelatory things, it was just another reminder that he is active among us in this day, and he wants us to just keep pressing into him, keep pressing into him. It all stems from living a life bowed down in his presence, and then letting him pour over you, and then letting him spill through you so that you spill out into life. There's a lot of lost people. There's a lot of confused people. We get to love them into the kingdom. So I was just using some of the messages we've heard. How to love the lost, the voice of truth, the roar of the whisper. There's a river entering Sabbath rest. Cut loose the anchor, we heard last week, and today we're hearing speak Jesus. And all of this is for us to be chain breakers. Chain breakers. There's a lot of people walking around with heavy chains on, and we get to operate from the place of rest, because Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest." So we get to operate from that place of rest. We don't have to be anxious. Be anxious for nothing, the Scripture says. Nothing. And everything by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in who? Christ Jesus. That's the Jesus we get to speak. That's the Jesus we get to speak to people. Ah. So on January 26th, we sang I Speak Jesus. That was a worship song we've been doing here since, I believe, 2021. We've been doing that song, you know, for whatever reason that Sunday. It resonated just deeply with me. On January 29th, I had a dream. I referenced this a couple of weeks ago, but I didn't go into a lot of detail. But in this dream, we were singing that song much like we were singing it in here today. There was a fervency about it, a fervency about speaking Jesus. And you know, we know the lyrics of the song, but we were singing it, and we were in this dream. And then as I'm in this dream, and the church was packed, room was packed, and we're singing, and the Holy Spirit was showing me in this dream. And in this dream, we were praying this. This song became a prayer. And if you pay attention to the lyrics, every line is a prayer. Every line is a prayer. And actually, we're going to go through this a little bit later, but I have handouts. I have handouts. And take as many as you need, because you may need multiple ones for all the people that you're praying for. Because this is an assignment. This actually song is an assignment for us. And again, not a new song. It's a song we've been doing. But Holy Spirit showed me very clearly in this dream that we need to be praying this the words of this song into specific, get very specific with each, because it talks about all manner of situations of life in that song. And again, we're going to go through it. I have it on the screen too, so we're going to go through all that. But I'm kind of giving you a heads up that, you know, anybody that's ever been a part of Abundant Life for any length of time, we are not a sit on our hands, sit idly by and just let life happen. No, Lord has put us in positions to be proactive in how we function, that it's not just for us here in this room. It's awesome that we get to gather together and we get to worship one another, worship Jesus together, that we get to encourage one another, and we get to do that, and we do that, and I think you guys do that very, very well. I'm absolutely humbled and honored to be a senior pastor with a body that is hungry to not only for Jesus, but to share Jesus. And so, but the work is not just in this room, and we all know that, but that work is intensifying. That work is intensifying because time is getting short. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. But I know that we're living on borrowed time. Let's just put it that way. We're living on borrowed time. And so being proactive, again, in a year when our word is the voice of truth, we're representing the voice of truth wherever it is that we go, whatever it is that we do, we're representing the voice of truth. And so we get to speak Jesus. So in this dream, it was prayer, seemingly more fervent than we'd ever experienced before. And when I woke up, I knew immediately this was a prophetic assignment that Holy Spirit was giving to us. And then what's funny is that was on Wednesday morning. I had that dream. So we sang that song the 26th, 29th. I had that dream. That following Saturday at men's prayer meeting, at one point, Pastor Mark was there and he was sharing. He was leaving that week, at the end of that week for DC, to go to DC, and he was sharing a few things. And then all of a sudden, he says, "'Cause your name is power." He said, let's sing this. "Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life." And I'm like, oh my goodness, here it is again. Here it is again. I had not discussed anything with him about that dream I had or anything about it. He just says, let's sing this song. And so we did that. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness, over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. So then the Sunday after that, I came into my open door class with a few scriptures, just planning to talk about the name of Jesus and just everything that had happened that week. And then we came into worship here, and the worship team began singing not that song, but another song about the name of Jesus. I don't remember now which one it was. But I knew I had to immediately just sort of whet the appetite that this is something Holy Spirit is doing among us, and we need to be paying attention, and not just paying attention, but then acting on whatever our part is, because each one of us has a part in this. This is not isolated to the prophetic team. This is not isolated to pastors. It's not isolated to Sunday school teachers or youth leaders. It is for all of us, all of us. I'm kind of reminded, even as I'm standing here, I remember R.T. Kendall said this in the Holy Fire, in his Holy Fire book: how much of Jesus would you like? How far are you willing to go in your walk with Jesus? Do you kind of reach a line and say, that's enough? I've been there. It's like, well, it's a little scary to cross over that next line. I don't know what that looks like. Amen. Ask Tony about that. It's scary sometimes, but he is so good. Amen. He loves us so much, and he equips us. This is not based on any of your qualifications. If it were based on qualifications, I would not be standing here today. It's based on him, his anointing, his leading. Everything about what's happening among us is connected to the very present reality that the voice of truth is speaking and being heard like never before to all who are paying attention. If you're paying attention, you're hearing his voice. When I introduced that word, voice of truth, this year, the second part of that teaching was all about Jesus. It was all about getting to know him, hanging out with him, reading scriptures about him. What did he do? How did he function? What did he ask of? What did he ask of his people? So everything about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's whole assignment is to point us to Jesus. It's to point people to Jesus. To empower us to point people to Jesus. Everything about what's happening, It's about Jesus. So he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. And then relying on Holy Spirit to fill us, empower us, equip us to do everything he has to do. So we're going to get to this assignment in a little bit. We're going to look at a few scriptures before we do that. So in Philippians, in these verses are basically telling us, I'm going to give you the gist of what they're telling us before we even read them. But they're basically saying, hey, model your life after that of Jesus. Model your life after that of Jesus. And I'll tell you this up front, we will do that absolutely imperfectly because we aren't Jesus. We still have flesh. We still have flesh. Now, I'm not giving any of us an excuse. We still have flesh. But Jesus says, die to flesh and live in my spirit. So Pastor Don used to say this all the time, and I've said it a few times since then. We don't have to sin every day. We don't have to sin every day. That was revelatory when I first heard him say that. I'm like, we don't? We don't have to sin every day. You can go a whole day without sinning. Don't talk about it a whole lot, or you'll probably be sinning because pride will try to take over there. But so these verses we're going to look at all are about what happens when we're united with Jesus. So here's what Paul says to the church at Philippi. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, any common sharing in the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion, not my strong points right there, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. And at that name, every knee should bow. That's going to happen at some point. It's going to happen at some point. Every knee will be bowing, whether it's willingly or whether it's just because he's coming back or has returned. I don't know exactly when that's going to happen, but it's going to happen. And so every knee should bow. So why don't we start now? Start now, bowing before him, giving him the reverence that's due his name. The knees should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Every tongue is going to acknowledge at some point. At some point, every tongue is going to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Of God the Father. So modeling our life after him, just as Christ was this, he's molding us and shaping us to live in that bowed down place. And when we do so, he loves to respond to that by saying, here's more. I'm equipping you for more. I'm equipping you to do the work that I've called you to do. We don't have to do this in our own strength. We don't have to do this in our own education. Nothing wrong with learning. I love learning. Let's learn who Jesus was and what he did and what he expected from his people, and then live it out. And we get to live that out and be obedient from a place of rest, not a place of anxiety or a place of stress. So in Ephesians, we'll just jump into what Paul has to say to the church at Ephesus. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So everything that Christ brought to the table is ours to be had. Now, we're not talking about necessarily material wealth or things, stuff. We're talking about having the blessing of the presence of Jesus, Holy Spirit, to equip us with everything that we need. So every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us. He chose us. He chose you. Do you understand that you're part of a chosen people? Part of a chosen people to carry out his work in the earth today. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He wouldn't call us to that kind of assignment if we had to sin every day. If we didn't have power to overcome sin, we do. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. It was pleasing for him to give us this. It's pleasing to him to use you in his work on the earth. It's pleasing. It's pleasing to him. Not only part of his will, it's pleasing to him. I still remember Pastor Shane saying, I don't even know how long ago this was. It might have been the beginning of this year, sometime last year, where he said, I feel like I could go up to the street and talk to anybody and say, hey, do you know Jesus and do you have any need? Because I know him and we can talk about whatever it is you need and we can bring whatever your request is to him, because he has the answer for you. And that's kind of the essence of the message we get to live out by speaking Jesus. Where was I up there? In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glory, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins, accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. If you're sitting here today feeling guilty over a lingering sin or something that's hanging on to you, he's lavishing Even today, his grace on you to say, I love you, surrender that to me, and I'll take care of it. I'll help you. Just cooperate with me. And let me say this, it's not always a once and done. We have to sometimes keep coming back. I've known situations where it was once and done with some dark sin that was holding on to somebody, but I've also known people that have received Jesus and they fall. We're still flesh. We have to fight in the spirit. We don't fight against the flesh. We fight with the spirit, and it's doable. It is doable. But even when we fall short, we don't run and turn and go back the other way, because he's still there saying, come on, let's do this again. I still love you. I haven't taken away my presence from you. Let's work on this. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according with his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. We're working toward that. That's what we're working toward, to the fulfillment of that. For that all to, whenever this comes to a conclusion, we're going to be right in the middle of that, right in the middle of it. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. This is Paul praying for the church at Ephesus, saying, because you've responded to this, and this is now me saying this to you, Abundant Life Fellowship, not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering your prayers. Paul saying that I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Again, it's this place of knowing him better that allows us to function better, that allows us to function above the sin that so desperately wants to have a grip on us. Our enemy hates that we love Jesus. He doesn't want us to grow in that. And he'll always try to impede that. But he says, so that you may know him better. That's why prayer was so important. He said, I pray for you. That's why we pray for one another. We pray for one another that we may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. There's a lot of promises right there in those three little bold sections. Know the hope he's called you to, riches of what you inherit when you say yes to him, and then great power that we get to operate in. We don't operate in the power of our flesh. It's not sufficient. It's not sustainable. It will fail us every single time. His power will not. It will not fail us. Wow. That power is the same. Just think about this. This is not a new verse for us, but think about this. Maybe it's a new verse for some of you. That same power, it's a mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you, Lindsay Muir. And I know you know it. But if you're in this room and you don't know that today, I want to encourage you that that same power, it's for you. You don't have to operate in the strength of our flesh. It will not sustain you. It will not sustain your faith. And it's that same, it's functioning in that same, from that place, that positioning, that we get to speak Jesus. And that we must speak Jesus. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Then turning to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude. Said, all these verses are modeling our lives, everything we do after his, so that we are equipped to do this assignment, to carry out this assignment. Arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in his body is done with sin. Don't worry about suffering. We're all going to suffer it sometime. We hate suffering. You know, I'm sorry. Jesus suffered. We're going to go through sufferings. And our sufferings will keep us on our knees. They'll keep us on our knees. They'll keep us in pursuit of the one who has the answers. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Living the rest of our life for the will of God. Living the rest of our life for the will of God. Is that your determination today? That I'm going to live the rest of my life for the will of God? Whatever that requires, that's scary. We sang a scary song, prayed a scary prayer last week. This is a scary thing to say. I'm going to live the rest of my life for your will. Because we don't know what that means. We don't know where all that may take us. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. You know, I'm looking at that verse right now and I'm thinking, boy, that's what we observe together when we meet together at men's prayer. You know, we see the love of God just being showered among us, and then we love one another deeply. We just love one another deeply. There's such a confidence that we can have in that we love one another deeply. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others. Boy, we're seeing that happen over and over again. Gifts just being activated and expanding and being put into practice. Just keep paying attention. Pay attention to the gifts he's giving you, and then step out on them, use them. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, if anyone speaks, talking about speaking Jesus, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Christ Jesus. To him be glory forever, forevermore. So the psalmist tells us this. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he's done. Old Testament, but still true. In 2025, give praise to his name, give praise, start there, praise him, and then proclaim him. Then proclaim him, make known among the nations. Pastor Don used to say this all the time. Tell your story. Tell your story of redemption. Your story can't be disputed because it's your story. It has power. It has relevance. Tell your story. As I came across this verse and was adding it to my message, I was reminded there was a song that we used to hear years ago. But my first recollection of it was back at our original building across the way on Taylor, and it says, "Some may wonder where the beauty lies in this name I hold so dear. And it's not just in the way it sounds as it falls on my ear. And it's not just in the way it looks when it's written beautifully, but the beauty of that lovely name is in the power it gives to me. It's so beautiful, the name of Jesus. It's so beautiful, that precious name. If you ask in Jesus' name, anything is yours just to claim. And I love that precious name. And at the sound of his name, every demon has to flee. Everyone. For to that name all power is given to set the helpless captive free. Every sin, disease, and sickness must bow down to that name and forevermore surrender. For all of time I shall proclaim. And then it goes back into, it's so beautiful, the name of Jesus. And as I was looking at that verse, I was so reminded. So there was a time when we were on Taylor, Connie and I didn't have children yet, and we were wanting children, and it wasn't happening. But I remember hearing that song, and it might have been for the very first time. I don't know if that was the first time, but Pastor Don's daughter Kim sang it with Pastor Don and Pauline. As they were singing that, I remember Connie and I were standing in the very back. It's a very small room, a very small sanctuary. But we were standing back there, and I remember just crying out, "Lord, let this be so that I'm asking you. We want to be parents. I think we'll be pretty good parents. If we could be blessed with a child, just blessed with a child." And I just remember praying that so specifically, and sort of having some sense of peace when we were done. I remember Connie and I actually kneeling together, and kind of, I don't know whether we even verbalized what I was thinking together at that moment, but I remember specifically us just presenting this desire of our heart. So I know that had to have been 2000, and 2000, what year were you born? 1988. Gosh, 2000. I've lost track of time. But our daughter was born that year, on the last day of that year. And it was just such a reminder to me as I was looking at that song, speaking Jesus into every situation. So I'm writing the lyrics to the song, and in my notes here, I'm working on this lesson. This was on Thursday. I come downstairs, and Pastor Mark is in the kitchen of our office, and he's got this contraption that transfers cassette tapes to CDs, and he's got this headset on it, and he takes the headset and he puts it on my head, and that's the song. That is the song. I was like, wait. I had forgotten that his band Everlasting Love had also done that song, and that's what I'm listening to. It's the very song, because I was like, should I include that in my notes? Should I not? And it was like, yes. And it's again, it's a reminder to me. It was just another one of those reminders of the now Holy Spirit who is operating among us. The now Holy Spirit who lives and rules and empowers inside of us to do what he's telling us to do. So it's just another simple example, and that's the only reason I went through all that. Jeremiah tells us this. He says, "When your words came, I ate them. They were a joy and my heart's desire. They're my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name." You bear the name of Jesus. Amen. You bear the name of Jesus. You're not him. But you're a vessel. You're a vessel. You're a vessel. Ugh. My footnote on that verse says, "I digested them. I assimilated them. I made them a part of me because I belong to you. I belong to you." Boy, we belong to him. Do you belong to him? Do you recognize that you belong to him? And because you belong to him, you have the greatest love relationship you'll ever have. The greatest love relationship you'll ever have. In Acts chapter 4, here's what we read. "The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter." So Peter, the one who denied Jesus, by the way. So if you think you've fallen short, just look at the life of Peter. He was told he would deny Jesus. He said, "I'll never do that." He did it anyway, because Jesus knew, of course, that he was going to do that. And now here he is. Now here he is preaching, speaking Jesus. Came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles and the teaching, because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them all in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Wow. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? By what power or by what name did you do this? Because there had been somebody healed. Somebody had been healed. How did that happen? They wanted to know, how did you do this? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for the act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected. He's become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Still true. Still true. And if you're in this room today and you don't know that and haven't acknowledged that and you want to do that today, we are here to pray blessing over you, to say, hey, he's here for you today. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So Lori Kibbe, some of you know Lori, she usually sits down here. She's in Florida right now, but she just came back a couple weeks ago now, a week or so ago, from El Salvador, where she was part of an eye care clinic, just doing eye tests for people. And she says that of all the mission trips she's ever been on, this is the only one that they actually had no planned time to share the gospel. There was nobody there as part of the team sharing Jesus. But they didn't know what to make of Lori, because she's filled with the Holy Spirit. She's filled with Jesus. And they said, "You have an energy. You have an energy about you." But she got called upon on a number of instances where there was one particular, and we've prayed for this lady named Anna, who was given basically a diagnosis that you're going to be blind, you're eventually going to go blind. And Lori communicated that back to us while she was still there, and we began praying for Anna. But she gets called upon while there by somebody, I don't know if it was the person directing the whole thing, who said, "You, come over here. We have a case that we don't know what to do with," and it was this Anna. And she said no one else would join her. No one else who was on this team had the faith that she had, or whatever. But they recognized something because she'd been with Jesus. She'd been with Jesus. We get to function from the place of being with Jesus, where there's something tangible, something tangible. You have an energy. The world doesn't know what to call it. You have an aura. You have a thing. There's something about you. Whatever it is, accept it. We know who it is. It's Jesus. It's not us. It's nothing about us. It's always him. So she went over and she prayed. And, you know, I don't know that anything happened on the spot, but we're praying for Anna. We're praying for Anna. But it was this verse lived out in El Salvador in Lori's life. They were astonished. Somebody took note. They didn't necessarily know it was Jesus, but they knew there was something about her. Let's ask her to pray for Anna. So Jesus, when he calls out his first disciples, he says this: "Don't go to the Gentiles or any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely give." We have that same assignment in 2025 as we're speaking Jesus. Kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy. I don't know that we'll see a lot of leprosy, but we maybe see all manner of other type of disease. Drive out demons, they're still there. Freely you've received, freely give. And then in Luke 10, we see another situation where more disciples were being sent out. The Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of them to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We got a lot of workers in here. The workers are not few in here. We got a lot of workers. I don't know, maybe it's few in the big scheme of the need, but we're on assignment. Send out workers into his heart. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. A little scary. You might get bit, but he might protect you too. But you still might get bit, but you'll live. You'll live. Ah. Heal the sick. Go, I'm sending out like wolves. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of heaven has come near to you. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your name is written down in heaven. Rejoice that you belong to him. Rejoice that you belong to him. Not any great act you're going to do for his kingdom. He gets all the glory for that. It's all for his praise. All for his praise. None for us. None for us. We're just as vessels. And then in Mark 11, 20, 22, 23, have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourselves into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for him. So he's drawing us this place of just trusting in him for the work. It's not us. I have power to do nothing of myself. I have power to do much in him. So we're going to go through this exercise. So we're going to go through the lyrics of the song, and yeah, if there's piles up here, if you want one, feel free to grab one. We can make more copies. I actually have more copies because I forgot my entire pile at home, and Connie made more. So we have more. It must mean that we're going to need more. So here's the words of the song. We're going to go through this. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind because I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. And again, these prayers are not meant to be prayed in a rote. Model them according to however you pray. But prayer, Lord, I speak the name of Jesus over someone's heart. Put someone's name in a blank. And again, you may need multiple sheets because you may have 25 people you're praying for. We'll give you 25 sheets if you need them. Lord, I speak the name of Jesus over someone's mind. And again, remember, this wasn't a dream where people were praying this fervently. People were doing this in prayer fervently. Lord, I speak the peace of Jesus over. Actually, this is very simple. There's nothing complicated about it. But the reality is, and the assignment is, do it. Do it, and don't just do it once. Make this part of, I don't know, if it's part of every day, multiple times a day, once a week. I'm not going to tell you how. Holy Spirit will lead you in how to do this. And it's going to take some time, so understand that this isn't something you're going to just go over real quick and just read real quick and then you're done. No. Press in, because as you press in, he'll give you more. He'll give you more. So that's the first stanza. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there's hope and there's freedom. I speak Jesus. Here's part of the prayer. Lord, I speak the name of Jesus over blank in someone's life. Whatever that dark addiction might be, whatever that dark addiction might be, if you know someone in your life, you have someone in your life who has a dark addiction, write it out. Lord, I declare that whoever it is would know and experience the hope that is in Jesus. Lord, I declare that whoever it is would come to know the freedom that is in you. It's not complicated, but it was so profound. This dream was so profound, and it was us. You know, I've had more prophetic dreams lately than I've ever had in my life. Sometimes I don't recognize where I am or who's in the dream, but this was us. This was an assignment for Abundant Life Fellowship. Because your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Lord, I speak the power of Jesus into someone's life. Some of these sound like they're repeated, but it's a little bit different. The words are a little bit different. So don't hesitate to put the same person's name into many of these lines. Lord, I speak healing for Marvin Snyder. Yes. Lord, I speak the life of Jesus into Shane Sims. It's been on my list. And God hears me. Not because I'm Pastor Jeff, but because I'm Jeff, his disciple. Lord, I speak Jesus over any stronghold that has a grip on. Lord, I speak the light of Jesus to disperse any shadows in someone's life. Lord, I speak holy fire to begin to burn in someone's heart and mind. Holy fire. There was holy fire experienced in this place today. It's holy fire experienced at men's prayer meeting yesterday. I speak holy fire to begin to burn. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Lord, I speak Jesus over any fear that has a grip on, and maybe it's you. Maybe the answer is myself. Lord, I speak Jesus over all anxious thoughts in. Lord, I speak Jesus over any grip of depression in. Fill in the blanks. Fill in the blanks. Didn't you just love fill in the blank tests in school? They were kind of easy. This may not be easy. Well, it may be easy to fill in the blanks. It may be harder to do. But he wants us to do it and to do it and to do it again and again and again. And then keep this. And as prayers are answered, answered. Circle it, answered. Done, 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 done. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Lord, I shout your name from wherever I am positioned, from atop a mountain or from whatever streets I travel. It's funny. So I went to visit someone in jail, actually every Friday for the last 3 weeks. And the 1 week in particular, I had to wait a really long time. And so I'm standing in the lobby. And it must have been the week that this whole thing unfolded, because I'm standing in the lobby. And I start just singing in the lobby, which has really great acoustics. Really great acoustics in the lobby. And I'm just standing there singing, Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the streets. They had to have heard me, because the mic is always on inside the office. I didn't care. I was like, I have to wait. I might as well be proactive. I'm just proactive. Hey, there's a whole lot of people in jail that, you know, whatever. But anyway, so Lord, I shout your name from wherever I am positioned, from atop a mountain or from whatever streets I travel or whatever place I happen to be. Whatever place I happen to be. Lord, I shout your name over any darkness that is clouding someone's mind, heart, I guess I wrote mind twice. Lord, I shout your name over every enemy that is trying to influence. Lord, I shout your name into these members of my family. Use the back if necessary. Lord, in everything I do, let me represent effectively the holiness that is in your name. That's what the very last line says. You all maybe you have it in front of you. This is a very clear assignment. Very clear assignment. If you need more sheets, either there's more here, we can get more. We'll kind of keep if they disappear, we'll just keep a stock of them. But I absolutely believe that as we're called to represent and speak the voice of truth in 2025, this is a proactive. The Lord didn't give me a dream. I don't operate necessarily in the most prophetic ways that much. I mean, other than the words he gives me every year for us, which I guess is a little significant. I guess it's a little bit prophetic. But prophetic dreams are never really, but they're increasing. They are increasing. They are increasing. There's more. Yeah, give me more. I'll take more. But and so you may be sitting here thinking, well, I don't get that stuff either. Well, get ready, because get ready. Get ready, all of you. Get ready. Get ready. How you pray, how you do this is up to you. Hey, we'd love to hear reports of answered prayers, but that's still up to you. If they're private, they're private. That's okay. We're not meddling in anybody's life. But I absolutely believe Holy Spirit has something big in mind. Big in mind. Let's stand. I was studying for this. I read this passage in Acts. I don't have it up here, but it was referencing Moses. This is before Jesus came on the scene, but this was Moses. It says Moses was in the assemblies. It's Acts 7:38. Moses was in the assembly in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our ancestors. And here's what it says. It says, he received living words. Moses received living words to pass on to us. This is actually documented and recorded in the New Testament. Living words to pass on to us. And I believe what's happening, part of what's happening in God's people at this time is he's giving his people living words. Living words. Living words to share. Living words to pass along. Living words. Living words. Living words. The context for this was from Deuteronomy. Moses was talking with Joshua, and Moses had been given this great, great soliloquy kind of thing where he was speaking all kinds of instructions the Lord had downloaded in him. And he says this when he was done, when Moses finished reciting what the Lord had given to him, he said, take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you on this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. By them you will live long in the land you're crossing the Jordan to possess. As I read that, it was just another reminder, these words, these living words that we get to speak, they are life to people. They are life to people. As we're speaking Jesus into all manner of situation, we are speaking life. We are speaking life. And we are abundant life. So it's not just scratching by. It's not just scratching by. We are speaking abundant life. Abundance of the presence of Jesus. So let's pray. If you need prayer, if you're in this room and you don't know Jesus, we want to pray with you. If you're in this room and you want more of Jesus, we want to pray with you. If you don't know how to do any of this, come and ask. We got lots of people who will come alongside you. If you want someone to be a prayer partner with you in some of this, ask somebody. They'll do it. I'm volunteering everybody in this room to be a prayer partner. So, Father, we just thank you. We just thank you for the privilege we have to speak Jesus. You've made that way possible. You've orchestrated that. This isn't a man-made assignment. This is your assignment. And we acknowledge that you authored it. And because you authored it, you plan to hear our cries. You already have told us you will hear our cries as we speak multiple names to you repeatedly sometimes. And we will press into this. We will press into this. Maybe in some cases until our last breath, asking you to do your work. So Lord, I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you that we have a room full of willing vessels who say, Lord, use me. Say, Lord, mold me, shape me. Mold me into your likeness, as so many of those verses talked about. Mold me into your likeness, that I will represent you well wherever I go, whatever I say. It'll all be for your glory, Jesus. If anybody needs prayer, prayer team's here, other people are here. Go grab someone if you need something.